I'll take your Bible and turn to Genesis 1. Read the first five verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Let's pray together, please. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that's ever settled in heaven, and let us depend upon it, that we would search it out above all other things, and let it stand as true and all other things as a lie. We know this section of Scriptures, O Lord, is under such attack and has been for centuries, and we just pray that you give us the wisdom and the encouragement and the faith by thy Spirit that we might hold on to the truth. Ask your mercies be upon those that are lost and undone, and we have on the prayer list and time to time in the services, that you'd have mercy upon them and be pleased to save them, edify the saints. In Jesus' name I thank thee and praise thee, and for his sake, amen. Now, Genesis is the beginning of the Word of God, and it's first 12 chapters of the foundation of the Word of God, and we see grace, we see law, we see everything in these 12 chapters, and then we go on as it's starting, if you will, and connecting to the rest of the Scriptures, and we rest upon God's Word, and that is why our study should be most fruitful, I hope, in our understanding of the rest of God's Word, as we get the beginnings right. Then the rest of it will fall into place. We get the beginning wrong, the foundation wrong, then the rest of it's going, we're going to have troubles. The types found, and we think about the types found in these pages, speak volumes, that is, in the book of Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We see in this verse, it speaks of Jesus, and we have several other verses in the New Testament speaks of Jesus as the creator of all things. Now, we don't get a distinction here between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Only one we get is the Spirit over the deep. And we'll not deal with that too much this time, but next time, Lord willing, we will. And so as we begin the beginnings, we take the following view as the correct view. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made with things that do appear. And the chart you have in your lesson, the order of things is seen from a Satan evolutionist, and these are the main differences. Now, I know there's a lot of other differences, but these are some of the main differences. Biblical order, matter created by God, matter in evolution, this matter is forever, ever existing. Earth before sun and stars before the earth, ocean before land, land before ocean, light before the sun, earth first light, land plants first, marine organism first, land plants before the sun before the land plants, fruit trees before fish, fish before the fruit trees, bird before insects, insects before birds before reptiles, reptiles before birds, man before woman, woman before man before the rain before man, creates fish, creative process ongoing. Now, I just put that in there just to show you the difference. Now, God says it this way, and they say it's this way, exact opposite. Now, from their point of view, the way they're figuring things, and I can understand how they come up with it, that, you know, you need some rain before you can have plants, but when it's only a six-day process, it really the order it doesn't make as much difference, if you will, as if you're taking billions of years. The table above shows that man's ideals are usually the opposite of God's word and truth. And the old question, which come first, the chicken or the egg? And I was trying to find out how old it was. The Greek philosopher Aristotle, who's answered this question, and he deduced that actuality, that's the chicken, always comes before potentiality, that's the egg. And that's not a from a godly point of view, that was from his point of view, which came first, the chicken or the egg. This is a question now still debated even in our day, what come first. And of course, it's clear from creation and God's word that the chicken come first. And because each, if you will, made after its own kind and reproduced after its own kind. So the animal was first, and then the offsprings came second. And the, as I mentioned, this is ongoing, and God, as God has created things, the evolutionary philosophers and scientists reason from a no-God viewpoint, and Christians should view things from God alone. And the word Genesis means origin. And we mentioned last time there's a lot of theo-something by Christians that, and some are calling themselves Christian scientists, and some call themselves Christian philosophers, and some are just plain Christians, and yet they hold to things like that, and gap theory, of course, is one of them. And the Scofield Bible, of course, that's what it presents in its notes. And so the origin of the universe, origin of order and complexity, order of the solar system, order of the atmosphere and hadrosphere. The earth is uniquely equipped with a great body of liquid, water, and an exclusive blanket of an oxygen-nitrogen gaseous mixture, both of which is necessary for life. There have never developed on other planets and are accounted for only by special creation. Now, that's from Morse. And somebody says, well, after all those trillions of planets and all the different stars, you know, there should be one out there. It appears to me that it'd be foolish. Was God going to do the same thing on another planet he's doing here? That just doesn't compute with the scriptures. And so no matter what they try to come up with or say, and they say, well, surely there's life out there. It's like flipping a coin. You know, you're bound to come up tails every now and then when you flip a coin. And some of the origins in Genesis chapter 1 through 12, origin of life, of man, of marriage, evil, languages, government, cultures, nations, religion, and a chosen people. Another question, how old is the earth? How long from creation to Jesus' birth to now? And the answer is nobody knows. I mean, just to make it short, but I did put some things in there that you can kind of figure out. And we usually say we believe in a young earth, and somebody asked me one time why we believe in a young earth. Well, we only believe in a young earth in the sense, or a young creation really, when compared to evolutionists. You know, to me, 6,000 plus years is a long time. And yet, compared to the evolutionary theory, it's just a small fraction. And we know that Bishop James Usher calculated 4,004 years from creation to the birth of Christ. But there's supposedly by now many flaws found in his calculations. And if you've ever gone through and just started in Genesis and go through the Chronicles to try to kind of get this, well, there's a lot of things that either overlap or there's a skip period. And so you don't know exactly how you're counting it. And then you have other books that will give added information that you don't find in the regular Chronicles. And so they must either be added in or placed on there some way or another. So there's no way of really finding out. And so the date of Christ's birth is somewhere between 6 B.C. to 12 A.D. And I know there's a lot of controversy. Usually it's in the B.C., but there's on both sides of that. Some believe that our calendar has at least a 10% error. And remember that the pagan Roman emperor did not begin the new calendar with Christ's birth. I mean, that's what I was taught from a little shaver all the way up. The Roman Julian calendar started in 45 B.C., and of course, it was by Julius Caesar. And the Gregorian calendar, which we use today, was started in 1582, And the B.C. A.D. started in 9th century. And, of course, we know it means before Christ and after Christ, or Anadomen, the year of the Lord. And that began in the 6th century, and was in full usage by the time the Gregorian calendar came out in 1582. And, of course, he was a pope also. The Roman Emperor Charlemagne used this for dating government events and so on and so forth, so it came into popular use. I found on the web, and they calculated, and they said this is 2008 A.D., you notice I put among others. And so we really don't know what it is. I mean, everybody's just guessing. And it's just like some that guess when the end of the time is going to be or when the Lord's coming is going to be, and they set a date. And they find out they're flawed in their date. And so we don't really know how far it is, and from the time of creation to Christ and from Christ to us. Was the original year 360 days? Did it change with the fall or flood? Would the correct year be a lunar year instead of a solar year? So what year is it from creation to Jesus' birth to now? And of course, as you read through this, I'm not going to read all of this, but as you go through this, you see I believe in that it was 360 days and the solar calendar would work. That's the calendar that God gave the Jews to use. And, of course, they said, well, it's flawed. It was flawed because of the fall. If it wasn't for the fall, it wouldn't have been flawed. It would have been a true calendar. But we know they had it added months and sometimes weeks, and sometimes they'd add 2 or 3 months to their year just to get the calendar to catch up with the planting season and harvest season. And so that was one of the jobs of the king, was to decide whether they needed another month. So every once in a while, it mentions, I think, once or twice in the scriptures of them adding the days, but this was their custom. When their calendars got too far out of whack and planting season was no longer the right time of the year to plant, then they'd add a month or two. And the solar calendar will not work. I mean, a lunar calendar will not work. We use a solar calendar. And I believe that's because of the fall, that's so, and that we don't have a perfect time. Because, you know, we have to add a leap year every now and then just to keep the calendar right, because we're not really 24 hours a day. We're 24 plus. Then when our years is not 365, it's about 365 and a quarter. And so, because of all of this, we put a day in every now and then and makes up for it. So how the earth, believers view, is not even a fraction of what the evolutionists believe. It's 1.5 millionth of a 1% of what we believe God created the earth in, or the creation, and what the evolutionists do. And when we come to the universe, then it's 3 millionths, divided by 14 million. And I was going to write that out, but you keep getting those little symbols, and I thought I'm not going to take the time to calculate that all out. And to the world's view. Now, in their view, the universe came first, and then the earth, some millions or trillions of years down the road, depends on which evolutionary group you read after. And so therefore, but in God's creation, they're only a few days apart of any of it. The earth was created first, and then the galaxy or the universe was brought together, And so we believe in a young creation with everything created within a few days of each other. And creation, what came first, Genesis 1, 1 and 2, all the necessary building blocks and system for creation were created on the first day, ending the day with the creation of light. When it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, the Spirit moving on the face of the water is to bring forth that which was spoken. And as I mentioned before, Lord willing, we'll speak more on that next time. So God took nothing, created everything that needed to be completed. I put this at the end, but I'm going to take it at the first. It is like a construction crew. A construction crew is going out somewhere and they're going to build some kind of big building. And so they go to a place, they clear the land. They make space to put in their materials, all the things they're going to use to build that building with. And they put this here and that there and this over there and all that. And then they get to lay it out where the building's going to be and how long that their plan is going to take to build that building. And we have a similar thing in creation. God created space because there wasn't any space. God created space and then created the materials and systems and all that was needed to create all the rest of it. And we notice as you read through the Genesis, the first and second chapter, especially the first chapter, it says God formed it of the dust. God took and separated the firmament. But the firmament's already there. He just separated it. And so these things were created on the first day. All the materials that were needed to make all these things to be were put there in the first day and the space that was needed for it. And then time began because even in the morning was the first day. And so time was created at the same time. And all these things was brought into being. So this creation would include the things, systems, energy needed for creation. And we forget about energy. Without energy, we'd all be dead. We wouldn't even be here. So it takes energy. And we forget that. This is a difference between a dead universe and a live universe, if it was such a thing. One would have energy and the other wouldn't. But we're not getting into that too deep. This would include space needed to hold the creation, time, one thing happening after another, evening, morning, as we mentioned. This is often referred to as time-space continuum. Have been and many of the premises have been discovered, but it's still one of Einstein's theories. That doesn't mean that's gospel, that's the truth. But we do know that space-time was placed and began in the beginning. Before the beginning, there was no time. And that's something for us I don't really comprehend to this day, how that you can't have time, but God dwells in eternity. And so therefore, it had to be a created thing, and that's the time-space continuum. God used these and formed everything else, energy sources, system, material, and time. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, Genesis 2:7. And so clearly he did not say, be man, and there was a man standing there. He took and formed it of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed in it and into the nostrils and gave us life, or gave man life. And included in the first day of creation was black and dark matter and energy. The only reason I bring that in there, and we'll be looking at Lord willing next time a little more, and see, so well, what's the need of that? It was because it is something that they know is there but don't know what it is. It is something that they know that it keeps the planet separated, and before, you know, they thought it was gravity, but now they know it's not because it doesn't act like gravity. And so they know there's something there that makes up, according to some, 85% of the universe that actually keeps everything in line and going, and they have no clue what it is. They know some of the way it acts. And so they have black energy, matter and energy, and they have dark matter and energy, and they're two different things. One, they claim, will collapse the universe, and one expands the universe, so which one is going on? And they say all the time the universe is expanding and collapsing. So we don't know about that. The Bible doesn't say that. But it's interesting that the majority of the creation, they don't know what it is. And the reason they called it black and dark, it just means we have no clue what that is that does these things. But they do know and observe that it is. That's the only thing that we can say. Again, on the first day of creation, everything needed to create, well, all was created, the day, space, time, systems, matter, and whatsoever else was needed. It was without form and void. Now, this is one of those passages that gap theorists like. Evolutionists really like this verse. If they look at it, from what it says, then they wouldn't have a problem. What they say is the gap between first chapter and second chapter. Verse. And someone will put a little gaps here and there too, and span it out. But the whole thing is, it starts out with God creating everything, and then God taking that which He's created and forming everything. And so there's not a trillion years between the verse 1 and verse 2, for instance. And there's not, millions of years and so on and so forth, as some like to say. And for the evolutionists, godless people to say this, I have no trouble with that. I mean, I wish they'd know the truth. But those that call themselves Christians, I have a big problem with it, because it denies what God says. And if God says it took 6 days, that's what it took. And we'll get in that just a little bit. It was without form and void, the beginning, and still, as if we think about that construction site, you'd see a bunch of stuff over there and a bunch of stuff over there and a bunch of tools over there and this over there, and it would look like a void or a mess. I mean, it's not a building, and there would be some order to it, but this is the ideal. Now, some will translate this word without form and void as chaos. And there's even books written on this chaos that included it, but the words that are used there are without form and void. That's what it means. It just means empty. There wasn't any planets there. There wasn't a sun there. There wasn't anything there. You know, we have the materials that God was going to use, but there's nothing you can point to and say that's something. Other than that's either gases. Some think it was all gaseous state, and that I'm not getting into because I don't have a clue. And so usually the gap theorists, this is where they use and put in their gaps. Void, no plants, animals. It is like a construction site again, and there's no construction there. There's nothing you can say, well, there's the building. We look at it and say, well, what the kind of building is going to be or what it's going to do? You know, we don't have a clue what it's going to look like. And if we was there, well, we wouldn't know what God was doing. Of course, we couldn't have seen without light and so on and so forth. And darkness over the deep, darkness was on the face of the deep. If we were there, then as I mentioned, we wouldn't be able to see anything because it'd be dark, but it's just a static darkness. It'd be darker than the darkness that the Egyptians felt when God sent darkness as a plague over the land of Egypt. And so this is a static darkness. It's just dark. It means no light. It just means it was just dark. God named, excuse me, and then he created verse 5, and God called the, excuse me, and God saw, excuse me, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And so what was this light? Now, is there a sun yet? Is there a moon? Of course, we know moons don't do anything but reflect. Well, there's no stars, there's no sun, there's not any, I don't know what all these things are, but anyway, there's none of them there. But it says the light. And I think this is the electromagnetic spectrum, or the wavelength of everything, from gamma rays to radio waves. This is what was brought into force. This is what light is. Now, most of the light spectrum, white light wave spectrum, we can't see. I mean, we can just see I was going to put it in the, well, I did have it in the notes, but I cut a lot of it out because too much space. But it's just a very small part of the spectrum of the light waves that we can see. Now, some animals can see more than we can, or they can see at the lower end or the upper end than we can. But we know that a lot of them there. Some think they have found the whole thing. I don't know if we found the whole thing or not. I mean, only God knows that. A light wave is the alternating electric and magnetic fields. That's from off the web. But the marker for sunlight, which is sunlight or lack thereof, for the evening and morning did not exist. And yet the scripture says evening and morning was the first day. And so God calls these first days after the time length of the fourth and the following marked days in 24-hour periods. Now, how we know, God clearly shows, and Exodus mentions it, what it speaks of, of the commandments and the Sabbath day, and it speaks of the 6 days of creation, and God rested on the Sabbath. And these are not trillions of years, billions of years. These are just 6 days plus a day of rest. So I think we have enough scripture to back up, that these are just 6 literal days. Pastor's note, I think these were perfect 24-hour days, and I already mentioned that, 360 days in the year, and so on and so forth. because of God's use of months, days, years, and the rest of the scriptures, if not for the fall, would the Jewish calendar day, months, years be correct? And I don't think God would give his people a flawed calendar unless there was a reason for it. Why did God give them a lunar calendar instead of a solar calendar? Somebody said, well, you can plant by it. And that's true. But a lunar calendar, you've got to add months every now and then because, you know, you're only looking at a 28-day month. And it depends on the cycles and where you're at. And what is discoverable? What has God allowed us to discover will yet allow and will not allow humanity prying eyes and minds to uncover. And Ecclesiastes speaks of this, that God has placed it in us to know our beginnings. And so there's desire to know these things. And only as God reveals them to us can we know them. And so how much more will God reveal? We think, well, science has learned this and that and the other, and yet there's so much that they do not know and have no clue about, as I'd mentioned before in the dark matter. God goes over what happened on particular days, usually a few words of summary, and what was accomplished. And it doesn't say how he went about doing it, other than some things it does. He says he took this and brought this and put this together and separate this from that and took, you know, man out of the ground and so on and so forth. So we have a part of the description, but we don't know all there's systems that go into this. And somebody said, well, you can't mention systems. You can't operate anything without systems. I mean, you have to have gravity. Without gravity, where would we be? And centrifugal force and as we mentioned, electromagnetics and all the other systems have to come into play. And everything that we are affected with, light coming down and all these things, are affected by different systems. And one is over against the other, usually, and they oppose one another and depends on which is the stronger, like centrifugal force. If you go too fast around a curve, you're going to find out gravity is not going to hold you. You just broke gravity's hold on that car. And so these things are all these systems, and then the energy that takes to accomplish or make these things work. Your car will not go without energy, and the earth will not turn unless there's something turning it. usually a few words of summary and then what was accomplished. After all these years, we know very little of the process God used on any one of these 6 days of this first week. We just know he'd done it. I mean, just when we get into, you know, putting the earth together, you know, putting, separating the firmament. And there's an argument over the firmament. That's the reason we're going to deal with that next time, maybe a little bit, Lord willing, and what it is and what it's not. It is like a treasure hunt for unknown treasure. What will be found? We already discovered electromagnetic spectrum, but have we found it all, or is there much more to find? All things need energy to exist. Some say in the millions of years, the sun will die, destroying the life on the earth. The universe will die. And they're speaking of it running out of energy. That is, it'll exhaust. The sun will exhaust. That is, it'll be burned up. And when it burns up, then it'll give out no energy. If it gives no energy, then Earth can't receive that energy from the sun for its systems to keep working. And so one thing leads to the other. Of course, they're talking about, trillions of years in the future or billions. I don't know which one it was. It didn't make any difference. God's going to destroy it before then anyway. And then there's the die. Would it go to absolute zero? And I've only put this in there that this... I got this from ICR, and they was impressed with it. The only problem with this, it is just a theory. In other words, it's not proved to be true. We need the heat to exist at absolute zero, thought to be 459.67 degrees Fahrenheit. The assumption is nothing can function at absolute zero. Therefore, all things would die or be dead, really. A perfect creation would have an eternal, everlasting power source, but it became flawed, and it's limited to its own resources. That's the reason that you got some things that wobble that we don't think used to wobble, and we've got the sun turning, shutting down. Of course, like I say, we're talking about billions or trillions, however they calculate it, till it dies, but all these things are dying. When God said, when speaking of the fall, when Adam failed, then surely you should die. In Romans, the 8th chapter, it tells us the creation died and started the dying process. So up to that time, it was sustained by God's power. After that time, it's sustained by its own power, which is dwindling down little at a time. And so there would be a time when things would quit existing. But God's going to destroy it before then. So we, black matter and energy are unknown quantities to man. What it needs to operate is unknown. Very little is known of these through most of the creation is made of. And Lord willing, we'll look at this next time. God will took nothing and created all the building materials for his creation. One of the things we should take from this is that God is a God of order, not of disorder. And what he makes perfect without a flaw. The flaw come by the fall, not by God's hand.